Canadian How's my test. Mic level?
Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Ruben. Go, Layton.
I am...
super loud.
That hero.
Jeffy.
This mic is annoyingly in the wrong position.
You are almost... you're almost quiet. You are quiet.
Well, I feel like I could be turned up.
Do you see how close I am to my mic? It looks like you're 5 inches away at least.
No, I'm actually like my beard hairs are occasionally stroking.
Yeah, you should have. My beard is always grazing the microphone.
My nostril hair are getting tickled every time I speak.
You have really long nostril hair. There, I said it.
All right, stop it.
The sound of my beard.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives.
Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 205.
And it's Tuesday, October 17th, 2017.
1717. Anyways, that was my thing for the day.
Way to go, Jeff.
Today we are going to talk about a little vacation that the three of us took, along with some other people, to Chicago.
Right. Yes.
It was a good weekend.
Along with a lot of other people.
A ton of people. It could have been disastrous, but it ended up being splendid.
What? Are we going to go straight into it, or are we going to cover feedback first?
We're going to cover feedback first, okay. And then you can ask me the question that was on the tip of your tongue. Mm. But before we're even going to do that, Jeff also has another fairy tale story that he teased last week. Mm-hmm. An ultra racist fairy tale story.
It's racist.
Something along those lines. But first, feedback. And Jeff, that timing of your was just perfect. Because the feedback is, can you please give Jeff some water every time you start the podcast so he doesn't cough during the podcast? 3 exclamation points.
Was this your feedback?
It's a lot of
exclamation points. It could have been, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
I am drinking water right now.
But you agree with that feedback.
I wholeheartedly agree. I didn't even suggest that someone leave this feedback. It happened organically.
It was unprodded, unprovoked feedback that Jeff needs water.
I do. But it seems like right now, it actually seems to be making it worse because my throat is like even more now. It was weird.
Maybe we just have scratchy water at my parents' house, like, Ruben.
Here,
just created more phlegm.
Here's some bottled water for you, Jeff. Give me your cup, and I will fill up your cup.
Fill up my cup,
so it
Ruben.
Overflows.
Don't let it completely overflow my cup.
I don't think it'll overflow with that amount of water, but okay.
Let's jump into it.
I also have feedback.
Oh, good.
Mitch said that he loves my rants at the end of episodes. And what he failed to understand was that that's not just a rant. It's a segment that we came up with called Get to the Point.
Get to the Point.
Get to the Point. So we will have a Get to the Point at the end of this episode as well. It's something for you to look forward to, fans. Look forward to it. Okay?
Mitch in particular.
Yeah, that one.
Speaking of feedback and other such things, I also have a poll question this week.
Are we going to do the poll question now?
Well, do we want to?
We may as well.
Okay.
You brought it up.
Well, the poll question is, and we had actually suggested this a couple weeks ago, should Jeff's jingles be a regular segment?
Did we never poll question it out?
We never actually did.
That's right. We're going to give it a few, give you a few opportunities to, mm-hmm. to give it a go. We've done it 3 times now, I think. Mm-hmm. And so the poll question will be, should Jeff's jingles continue on the French Press Podcast? A simple yes or no. And probably the most that it would happen would be probably every 3 weeks, probably at the most.
Yeah, maybe every other, but not more than that.
Because you also have the fairy tales thing, and I feel like there's a lot on your plate. I don't want to overwhelm you. So.
I'm so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Let's start with Chicago this weekend.
Yes, let's.
So this was all Jeff's doing. Mm-hmm. Jeff got this around, and first off, thank you, Jeff, because it was I enjoyed it so much.
Jeff, you could be. I feel like someday I could see you being a travel agent.
Travel agent?
Yeah, and I think you. I think you'd really excel and enjoy that. I think you would.
But I also feel like it couldn't be mass produced. Like, I don't think this could be.
You can't replicate what we had.
Well, you can't replicate Jeff. You can't replicate Jeff. And I think every trip that he would plan would be so unique that it would be impossible to create a trip like, say, oh, do you want to do the Chicago trip, or do you want to do the Redwoods trip, or maybe a certain
the New York City
Canadian
trip?
Or, I feel like everyone would be so unique and different that there's no way to just replicate it.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff.
The value would exceed.
It would cost more money because Jeff could only do one trip. He couldn't hire anyone to help him out.
It's true. And because each trip is unique, you could call it like snowflake trips.
Snowflake trips.
Yes, I feel like that'd be confusing though if you're going to say
Hawaii,
Florida, or Hawaii.
Yeah, it's a terrible name.
But Jeff, what inspired you to get this trip around?
Well, we went on a similar trip last year. Was it last? Yeah, it was last year, and it was quite a bit of fun. And then it was just all single guys, and we had a blast. We stayed in the Trump Tower, and ate at expensive restaurants, and went to the Field Museum, which ended up being more boring than we hoped, but was still kind of interesting.
It was interesting for 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of repetitive.
Yeah. They had the terracotta soldiers on display. That was pretty cool. But then the rest of it just kind of was, we should have saved that one for last. Then it would have seemed, the rest of the museum would have seemed better, I think. Anyways, so I wanted to do something again, and I was like, well, we could get kind of the same group around, but since then, most of us have, or most of the group have either started dating or gotten married or something like that. And like Eric Troyer wasn't even married at that point.
Oh wow, that was
it was
way
like
back.
his pre-bachelor party, basically.
Was it like the appetizer for the bachelor party? It was like a taste for what was to come.
Mm-hmm. And Layton was actually on his first date with Carrie that weekend.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
That's right. I passed you guys up to go down and see my lady.
So since then, Layton has gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
Eric has gotten married. Mm-hmm. And Kyle has started dating.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
And Ruben has started
dating. Ruben? What?
What? You knew this. I told you.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You broke the news to me. When was it? 2 weeks? 3 weeks ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. When you hinted that Jeff would have to be carrying these single thoughts by himself.
Yeah.
He already has enough on his plate.
Well, that's why I said that doing it every other week just seems like too much. But what I started saying is that this weekend had the potential to be disastrous.
Oh, it did.
Pretty much for me and Carmen, because her flight had before it took off from Missouri, it had mechanical problems. There was something wrong with the brake or the wheel.
Before we get deep into this, Ruben, this is a good story.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to express my frustrations in the planning of this trip. So I know that hotels, the closer it gets to the time, the price goes up. Okay,
right.
And I wanted to plan this weekend out. So I don't know, probably 3 months before, 3 months ago maybe, I had suggested to a group of friends, hey, let's go to Chicago. Who all is interested? And I listed the cost, basically the estimated cost of the trip, and invited a whole bunch of people. And then
one thing you need to understand about Jeff is when he plans something, he doesn't just invite a small group of people. It's an invitation goes out far and
wide.
Freely.
Yeah. He sends out messengers.
Because I knew that the actual group going would be probably half of the ones I actually invited, which actually ended up being a little bit more. But so I invited originally 18 people to join us. And everybody was like, oh man, we don't want that many people on there. And so like right off the bat there was some
some sifting and some filtering and some chaff blown
there
away.
There was some of that.
I'm glad I wasn't chaff.
People got eliminated by the weekend that we chose because we had two dates, and the one worked better because it was a bye week for Notre Dame, and that actually was on the table at the beginning. And it just
I told Jeff, I'm not going to go unless it's a bye week.
Yep.
Is that what you told him?
Yeah. That was before he was dating, so it was okay.
And now it definitely, he wouldn't go if
and,
it was a bye
and
week.
Yeah, so it ended up that the other weekend was right after the youth camp out, and nobody would have wanted to go on it then from our youth. And yeah, it was just, didn't work out the other weekend. So we picked this date a while back, and then I was trying to convince people to come. And this was back...
Pretty much you were convincing them to commit.
To commit, yes. And I wanted people to commit like 2 months in advance so that I could book the hotels for decent rates. And I found hotels for about $64 a person per night.
Wow.
And it was a decent price, you know. And so I wanted to, you know, book them, get them locked down. And then, you know, if somebody joined and somebody left, you know, it would... Anyways, so... It ended up, this was, at this point, Kyle and Amanda were kind of, like, trying to figure things out at that point.
About going on the trip?
About going on the trip and whether they were, like, going to, you know, stay dating or break up or whatever. And we pretty much knew that they were going to date, you know, stay dating, but
right. They
weren't, like, official.
Right.
So, anyways, so that was
much,
kind of going on.
Pretty much just how it has been going.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that if Kyle were here, he would slap us.
He would reach through the microphone.
He would reach through the pop filters and grab us by our throats.
Yeah. So anyways, so this was like all going on. So Amanda wasn't sure if she was going to go because she was kind of expecting to pay for it herself. And then I invited some of her friends to come and a couple other girls, single girls to come. And it was just kind of like, you know how people are. They just don't want to commit to something that costs $300-$400, you know.
Which it didn't have to be that much.
Depending
on what you were eating, it wasn't
right.
that much.
Right.
And initially I had said $300.
So you're trying to get commitments. And then
I
feel like I helped change the dynamic of the group.
You did.
By a pretty wide margin.
You did. You swung.
So what it boiled down to...
You had the swing vote.
Everybody was uncommitted. Like, because Kyle was even kind of like, well, Amanda doesn't really want to go, and so, eh. And then Ruben said, hey, I want to bring Carmen.
In order to save this trip, I knew what I had to do.
Yeah.
So as if you did it for the good of the
Ruben
trip.
Ruben wanted to bring Carmen, and Carmen didn't want to go kind of by herself. Justin's girlfriend Emily was committed to go if there was other girls. Okay, so how was this then?
This is how it went. I was pretty sure that if Carmen would go, that Carrie would want to go, which is Carmen's sister,
right? My wife,
Lane's wife, and if those two would go, we knew that. Well, Emily was going to go, another right. girlfriend,
and then, she was like committed if any other girls went.
Yeah, and so then. At that point, it was pretty clear that, well, Amanda would also go if there's girls going.
Kyle, Amanda.
And so all I had to do was...
And then Eric and Kim were also going to go if Layton and Carrie went.
Right.
True. And so I just proposed that, well, if Carrie would go, if Layton and Carrie go, would Carmen be interested in going?
So pretty much it all hinged on Carrie and I.
Well... I know you're trying to bring this back to you.
No, I'm not trying.
It pretty much all hinged on...
I'm stating facts.
Because the way Kyle was saying it then is that Layton and Carrie will want to go if Carmen goes.
But so, Carmen will not go if Carrie doesn't.
I did not know that aspect of it. And then I was at the very lunch where Kyle...
We all came together.
Yeah.
We all came together.
It was a greeting. We met in the middle.
And yeah. Did you
did you say a greedy or a treaty? I think you meant treaty.
I said greeting.
Oh, greeting.
It was a meeting of the middles.
Were you...
I think it was more like a treaty.
It was a truce.
Layton, did you go to lunch with me and Kyle and Amanda at Hunter's when
yes.
Amanda decided to
that
go?
That was when I got a free lunch. Because I sold a job for PWI.
That's right.
To Gen Y Hitch.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle treated him for lunch. I tagged along. And then Amanda ended up, her work crew brought her over there. And so she ended up meeting with Kyle.
They went out for a company lunch.
Yeah.
Her work crew.
Yeah. I started wrong.
Escorted her to said hunters.
So, and then Kyle convinced Amanda to go if Carrie would go. And so
the dominoes fell quickly.
And then it all fell into place, and it was simply a matter of booking the hotels. And they ended up still being pretty reasonably priced, and it was a nice hotel. And yeah. So.
So where could it all have gone wrong? At least for Ruben and Carmen. It could have all gone wrong, like I started saying at the beginning, because there
was problems. Yeah, this was what was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Yeah, this, exactly. We all drove to Chicago, the big group.
Yep.
But Carmen's in Arkansas.
There was 13 of us that drove up to Chicago.
Yeah.
So it was a big group.
And so it was going to work out perfectly. Her flight was going to come in, I think, around 8 o'clock local time. Mm-hmm. We were going out to eat then around that time. So maybe, maybe not. Maybe we can make it. Maybe we can't. But yeah, it was to the point where mechanical problems in the airport in Springfield, in Missouri, not Illinois, and potentially just, yeah, trying to get a mechanic there to work on the plane, and then just hopefully he can get it working.
Right.
Because this was the last flight, and then there wouldn't be another flight until the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just there for the weekend. So every minute matters.
Every minute.
Thankfully, the flight was delayed by, now I forget if it was 2.5 or closer to 3 hours, but it seemed like an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least a day. It seemed like a day. But it was only three hours. 2 or 3 hours. And she got there. We went out. You guys were done eating by then, so we went out for for supper. And then made it back to the hotel. It was late. It was probably around midnight at that point. Oh,
my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time we were with all of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing.
Lynn's just looking at me.
I am.
So let's talk about this Friday night dinner. This was an exciting point, a highlight for me throughout the weekend. Ruben and Layton and Carrie and Carmen were originally planning on all eating somewhere else because they were going to pick up Carmen at the same time as our dinner reservation. And then they ended up all coming to the restaurant except for Carmen because she wasn't there yet. And then Ruben left shortly thereafter.
And what was the place called? It was a steakhouse that you had just heard about, or were you looking for?
I searched for top-rated restaurants in the area of our hotel within walking distance. And this one came up. It's called Prime House. And, okay, so let's go through the average, the ordinary process of booking a reservation at a restaurant, okay? So normally, okay, you call the restaurant and you say, hey, I'd like to make a reservation. And then they're like, okay, let me put you on hold and get you so-and-so, okay? And then you wait around for about 30 seconds, and then the guy answers the phone and is like, and then you say, I would like a reservation for 6 people at 7:30 tonight. And then he'll say, okay, let me check, and then he has to wait. You know, you have to wait on him a little bit.
To look at their notebook or mm-hmm. their...
Yeah, and then he usually, you know, says, okay, yeah, we can do that. What's the name? What's the number? Or then he might say, hey, I have to keep on checking, or I have to check something else, make sure it works. And this happened other times throughout the weekend exactly like this. But when I called this place up, we were on the way to Chicago, and it was about a 3-hour notice that before the reservation, and I called them right when they opened, and I said, hey, I would like to make a reservation for 8 o'clock tonight for 13 people. And they said,
no, it wasn't for 13.
No, it was for,
it was for 11 or 10.
Yeah. And so they said, okay, no problem. We've got you down. What's your name? It was that quick. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Then I found out that more people were going to be there.
Because Carmen was coming in later.
Mm-hmm. And so I called them again, and I said, hey, I have a reservation tonight for 8 o'clock for 13 people. And then they said, oh, Jeff? For 10 people. And then I said, yes, could I change that to 13? And they're like, okay, no problem. We'll take care of it. And that was literally 2 phone calls, very simple, short to the point. Now, and they knew right away Like, they were able to take care of me right away with no wait.
Okay, after hearing this, I'm curious to know how the paying went. Because I know when there's a big group of people, and if there's couples in it or single people, and you want to split up the bill, it can be a major, major issue. So I'm curious, as easy and as swift as the reservations were, were they pretty happy and accommodating when it came to splitting up the bill at the end?
They actually just handed us the whole bill. Okay. And I think if we would have asked them to split it up, they probably would have.
Yeah, they probably would.
And they would have made it super simple, but we decided just to divide it up and each pay our portion of it. So yeah, the food was really good. It was a steakhouse, and their specialty is aged steaks. And so they had one that was 40 days, and one that was 55 days, and one that was 75 days.
Okay, Jeff, you had some aged steak that I bought from you, and other of your friends bought some. And I thought you had said, "Oh, make sure you eat this steak within like 2 days or 3 days, because it's going to go bad if you wait longer than that."
Well, yes, my reason for saying that was, it was a different aging process, and once you cut it, so when you age a steak, like the outside part of it kind of goes bad, and once when you actually cut it up, you have to trim that part off of it. And so it's then just normal meat, except it's aged, has more flavor, more tender.
And explain, the gentleman that was taking our orders explained why there's more flavor when a steak is aged. Yeah. Do you want to explain?
Yeah, they do a process called dry aging. And so basically they just set a chunk of meat in their cooler, and there's dehumidifiers in there. Mm-hmm. There's salt bricks in there, and they have ultraviolet lights as well to kill bacteria. So basically, all this meat is doing is just sitting there and dehydrating. So water is evaporating out of it. The air is very dry. There's no bacteria or mold forming on it because of the dryness of the air, which is awesome. And so this whole chunk of meat starts to shrivel up. And as it does, the fat on the outside edges of it kind of gets squeezed out and forms like a wax-like coating on the outside of it, which we noticed on some of those in there.
But then the other thing is, too, normally if you just get a steak and it's not dry-aged at all, and then when you slap it on the grill...
Slapping steak on the grill.
It will.
You don't just put it on the grill. You slap it on.
It'll sizzle and juice will come oozing
yeah,
out.
Yeah, right.
But he said with this dry age process, a lot of that flavor is lost when the juices are coming out.
When the juice is coming out, yeah.
But when you dry age, there's not as much juice coming out, so it's in the meat.
Because some of that water, basically, yeah, when you slap just a fresh steak on the grill.
Slap it right on there.
Then the juice comes out. You know, obviously, there's going to be some moisture loss regardless, but that juice has a lot of the flavor. Whereas if you age it and it actually starts to dry out the steak, then that flavor is left there and the water is allowed to evaporate. So the actual flavor concentration is stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do go ahead and grill it, and there is still some liquid coming out, but that liquid coming out is, or the liquid that's left in the steak is higher concentration of flavor.
So I didn't taste any of the steak, but did both of you taste some or have steak?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a 40-day steak.
What was it good?
It was very good and full of flavor. Mm-hmm. They also had a really great way of grilling the outside of the steak.
Presenting.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was
done perfectly.
You could taste like lots of seasoning, and it was just very crisp on the outside, very, very moist in the center.
Yeah. The steak was like, it was crispy on the outside, but it wasn't burnt.
Right.
It
wasn't like a burnt.
It was like
burnt,
almost burnt, but not quite. It was the perfect.
It was more like a crispy.
And so, was it still juicy?
Yes.
Yes.
The 40 day was extremely juicy. I tasted a piece of that.
40 days extremely juicy.
The 55 day is what I had.
Okay.
And it was a bit more dried out. You could definitely tell it was drier. It wasn't like beef jerky dry.
It was just slightly tougher.
Yeah. Well, not even tougher. I didn't think it was tougher.
Okay.
It was pretty soft meat, but it was just drier.
Okay.
And did you get it medium rare?
I got it medium rare.
Medium rare.
And it was done perfectly.
Mine medium rare. See, I had tasted Eric's 55 day steak, and he got his done medium.
Okay.
Which is probably why it tasted tougher.
My medium rare was about the same. I guess it was a little tougher. I thought when I first cut it open, I was like, man, I ordered medium rare, and this is like medium well. Mm-hmm. But then when I looked at the meat, it was medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a drier cut, and the flavor was pretty strong.
Yeah,
it actually stank a little bit.
Yeah, I tasted my 40-day steak, and it was like melt in your mouth, full of flavor. It was great. I tasted Eric's 55-day steak, and it had a bit of a kick to it. At the beginning,
like now I'm really
biting
curious.
Into it. You can definitely taste the difference.
It didn't taste spoiled, but it didn't taste like your average steak.
It was a very meaty taste.
Yeah,
maybe it was more like
very strong,
like a wilder flavor.
No, it wasn't wild. But think of how steak smells.
Yeah,
normally when it's mm-hmm. on the grill, take that smell, put it into liquid, and then
pour it straight on
into your nostril.
Well, and just like make it really concentrated, like it's a kick of that flavor.
Okay,
yeah,
it's a kick of that smell mm-hmm. on your tongue. Is the best way I can describe it.
The 75-day, I actually don't think I would have enjoyed that.
Did anyone try that?
No, nobody was that adventurous. If I would go again, I would get the 40-day.
I would get the porterhouse.
The porterhouse.
You didn't talk about the pricing of this, but I can imagine that it's pretty expensive if there's this much time spent.
It was outrageously pricey.
And you talked about they have a cooler or mm-hmm. a walk-in cooler in the basement.
They
give
tours.
That you walk
through. Yeah, they give tours of that to show you their process. And so there are steaks. They had the 40-day, and that was $60, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then
for 16 ounces,
for it
12
was,
ounces.
What did they 16. Say? It's a...
It's a 20-ounce steak.
It's a 20-ounce steak, yeah, and with the aging process, it loses about 30% of its moisture, so it goes down to about a 16-ounce, or mass, 30% mm-hmm. of its mass is what he said. The 55-day was $70, and the 75 was $85. And then the porterhouse.
The porterhouse.
Was, how long was that aged?
That was only for 30 days, I think.
Was it only 30 days?
Yeah.
Porterhouse is a massive steak, too, but that was $130. None of us got that.
No.
Then they also had a Delmonico steak was what they called it, and I think that one was 28 days or something like that. It was way less aged.
Right.
Basically a normal steak, but they have to do it age it a little bit.
Carrie got lamb chops, and I tasted that, and normally lamb tastes kind of gamey and sweet. Mm-hmm. And it did, but it was the best lamb you will ever taste.
Mm-hmm.
It was like...
I wish I would have tried some of that.
It tasted so good. Plus, they had a very good... it was like a mushroom drizzle on it. It was like a creamy mushroom sauce that they put on over the meat. So good. Oh.
I understand that after you left the steakhouse that you some of you saw some race cars or some cars that were doing some illegal things.
Wait, Ruben, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. Where are we at in time on the podcast?
We're at 30 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Man. This is going to be a long podcast.
It's going to be a long
podcast. Close to that.
We're just starting the weekend. There's so much to cover. There's so much content.
Yeah, we got there. So anyways, the steak was amazing. 12 people. It ended up being 12 of us, we racked up a bill of just over $1,100. Or no, just over 1,000, was it?
The actual bill was $922. Mm-hmm. With tip, it was over 1,000.
Yeah. So it was a fairly pricey meal. But
I didn't know if you wanted to share that on the podcast.
I will say that it was a one-time experience, and I really
only
enjoyed
one time.
It.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. No, I'm
but
glad.
it was worth it. It was worth it for the experience of one time.
I agree. And it was a group effort.
Before I left, I ordered coffee, and the coffee was $5. So it's expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything was overpriced. It was. But at the same time, I think it deserved to be overpriced. The service was perfect. They made the salad right in front of us. That was pretty cool.
Tasted the salad. It was really good.
They made the dressing on the spot.
Wow.
They were mixing herbs and spices and also creams to actually make the ranch that went on top of mm-hmm. the salad. No, they didn't.
No, they did mix different ingredients.
Mixed oils and
they,
such.
They mixed different oils. Like everything came out as raw ingredients.
Yeah. Anyways.
Are you ready to move on?
Yeah, no, I am. Let's move on. after the
steakhouse experience.
Overpriced steak, we then went to the Shake Shack. And some of you guys got shakes, whatever. I was full and done with food. So a couple of us, a group of us kept on walking, and we wanted to go down by the river. And so we started walking down, and then I'm just following Google Maps, kind of. And I see, like, oh, if we would just go one block over, we could cross over what looks to be a pretty good-sized bridge. So we go one block over, and when we go over a block, we're going underneath, like, an overpass.
There's like...
We're underground, and so we had to go up some stairs to get to the top level.
There's two street levels in that part of Chicago.
Yes.
And the one street goes downhill, and the other one goes uphill in order to make that...
Which is especially confusing when you're trying to follow a GPS, because it will not work underground. You will stop moving on your GPS.
The bridges are even double-decker bridges. Like, there's an upper and a lower.
It's crazy.
It's just really weird. But
anyways, so then we go to the top level after going over a block, and then we start proceeding towards the river again, towards the bridge. And guess what we happen to run into?
King Arthur. Sitting at the corner of his round table.
You are so close. It was actually King Arthur pulling the sword out of the rock.
Wow. Now I do really feel like I missed out.
Yeah, you did. No. We walked past the upcoming Apple store, Apple Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like announced at Apple's keynote. When was that?
Three or four weeks ago.
Yeah. And... we couldn't, like, see inside or anything. They had a big cardboard wall.
Yeah, it's all blocked out. Nobody can see what's going on there.
Right. And then we went, like, across the bridge, and it has a riverfront. It's a riverfront outlet. And it looks so nice from the outside. And, like, it's supposed to be, like, all glass so you can see through the entire thing. But they also have, like, paper... over all of the glass right now, so you can't see inside. It just says, what does it say?
This is where ideas sing.
Where ideas sing, yeah. Or something like that. You know, it's something kind of generic and lame, but... And plus it was in, like, some kind of swirly font. And then we went across the river, and we walked along the riverfront, and then... We're having a nice time.
Hold on. You should look up, listeners, you should go look up designs or how this store is going to look, because it is really, really cool. And they do have a mock-up online. You can just search Chicago or Apple Chicago new store or something like that, and you'll see some images. And it is very, very cool looking.
And the store they have is really cool, too.
The current Apple store in Chicago.
The whole front of the store is glass up to the street. And they have a glass staircase in there. It's really neat.
In the current store.
And like a bridge of glass on the second level. It's like the second level is like a horseshoe shaped, and bridging that horseshoe is a glass bridge. It's like 3 inches of glass.
And at the bottom of that horseshoe is a miniature theater where you can take classes of the second level.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. Anyways... So we're walking along the riverfront, we're having a great time, whatever. And then we start hearing noises. Some strange
gunshots.
Noises. No, but close. Not gunshots, not screams, but squeals. We hear squeals.
Squeals of joy or squeals of terror?
Heard of
squeals
hawks.
Of rage.
What kind of rage?
The kind of rage that makes a motor growl.
I thought you were going to say road rage.
Yeah, that kind of rage. Some little punks are underneath, like, they're at the bottom of some kind of overpass. And there's very little traffic going through there. and a bunch of little punks kind of drove their cars into like a circle-ish kind of formation and turned on their headlights so that there's kind of like this arena.
Mm-hmm. Was this on the lower level or the upper level?
The very lower, the lowest level, the ground level of this overpass. It was like a triple, passing highway thing in Chicago. I don't know how to describe it.
Right by the Apple Store there.
Across from the Apple Store.
Across the river?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And they're all parked in kind of like a circle, and they have their headlights on, and then they're taking turns with their cars. They're taking turns doing donuts in the center of this circle and, like, so, showing off just how much they can burn rubber.
How many cars did you say there were total with out around and then also the car in the middle doing donuts?
There was one, two, about three.
Okay.
You made it sound much more.
I know, but yeah, I know. Actually, like three of them with their headlights on. But there was also like
no one is behind ever going to believe anything they hear on this podcast anymore.
Why would they anyway? It's all played up.
Not to a score of times three.
Okay, fine then. So it wasn't a circle of cars. It was a triangle of cars.
A triangle of cars.
I got my shapes mixed up. My bad, Ruben. Ugh, what are you, the shape police? Anyways. So we go up and we start watching them do these donuts. And there's only about two cars that are taking turns doing donuts in the center of this triangle. Okay, but then there's a group of kids that are kind of standing up on the curb that's, like, really close to the middle. And, like, so some of them have cameras. And, like, some of them have, like, DSLRs, like, pretty big cameras. And they have, like, glide cams to, like, make their shots steadier. Some of them just have their phones. Some of them have little point-and-shoots. But it was insane. Like, they totally trusted the guys that were filming totally trusted the driver. Because they would get so close, like within like 2 feet.
Oh my goodness!
Of the car, as the tail whips around, they feel the need to like they want to get their camera as close as possible mm-hmm. to the back end as it comes whipping around towards them, and it's insane. Like they totally trust him.
This is a car show thing. I've seen multiple videos of people like the burnout contests mm-hmm. at night. Okay, it's dark, and there's just people flocking around this car that's burning out, and they're standing within inches of it on all sides.
Yeah.
And then the car, like, lurches and actually runs into people, and then they get all mad.
And it's like, well, what did you expect to happen?
Yeah.
You have a car that's, like, wanting to go, and if a driver doesn't know what he's doing, that would be so easy. Yeah. It'd be so
easy. Drivers that do that are expected to know what they're doing. I did see a video of a car that did this. And, like, the driver absolutely, it was pretty obvious that he was trying to show off and that he didn't know what he was doing because he totally, like, plowed into a bunch of people. And, like people actually got hurt and the whole crowd just mobbed him and just smashed the tar out of his car. They were hitting the windows with sharp objects, smashing in the windows, denting the metal, and he took off out of there as fast as he could.
Did this happen in the United States?
Yes. This happened out one of the big car shows out on the East Coast.
Probably in Boston. Anyways, so we were watching this, and then we watched it for maybe 15 minutes, and then two little punks, decide to, like, take it too far. Like, it was just burning out, whatever. And yeah, some kids were close to getting hit because they were filming, whatever. But then two little yahoos. The one kid is driving a little black Mercedes, very tiny car. And then another kid hops on top of it. And, like, he has the front windows open so that the kid that's riding on top of the car can clutch the with his hands the inside of the windows so that he doesn't fly off. And then he starts burning out and doing donuts with the kid on top. And then as soon as that starts happening, Here comes a man. He looks like he's probably in his lower 60s. Very skinny, scrawny, very gangly. Has a massive beard. We're like watching kind of over the highway wall. It's pretty much a median. It's as high as a median. It's pretty much elbow height. We're watching from that. He hops over the median, and he starts stomping towards these kids and starts cussing them out. I didn't hear what he was saying, but you could tell he was furious. He meant business. And then he comes marching back. He's like, I can't stand that kids are doing that. I'm a motorhead, too. I like to hear the engines rev and everything. I've been a firefighter for 40 years. And I like to hear the engines roar. And, you know, that's all great. But as soon as you start doing stupid stuff like that, blankety blank, 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 it's just dumb. So yeah, I gotta.
So how
see
much
that.
Of that is true?
The blankety blank blank.
Was there even a man, or was it just a shadow that
it
crept
was,
over there?
It was a fifth grade girl. It was a fifth grade girl that went trotting up to them with her little Crocs on, and said, "Could you guys please stop doing that?" And then she came trotting back and just says, "Oh man, the world is so great." I love triangles. Anyways.
Yeah.
So supposedly someone from our group has some photos or video.
Yeah, Eric got photos. I should have, but even if I would have, I wouldn't have them now.
Do you want to merge into why you wouldn't have those photos?
I feel like we're running on so long.
You feel like you've been talking so long?
Yeah, we can save my Apple experience for next week.
We probably should get back to something that the listeners will have faith in, that it actually is true.
Right.
Plausible at the very least.
Jeff, when do you want to take it?
When we got to Chicago.
No, obviously maybe we should read a fairy tale.
Oh, okay.
Well, we should still quick wrap up the weekend.
You're right. We're not done yet. You said you had an experience, Jeff.
Yes.
With North Face.
Yes, I did. I'll get to that on the last day.
Okay.
So the first day we got there, it was like fairly warm outside. It was nice. Maybe a little bit cool. I forget. Upper 60.
It was a good 60s.
And then Saturday.
Oh, the rain.
It rained.
And then it rained.
And then in the afternoon, it kind of let up. It was still sprinkling a little bit. And so we all went to we kind of did our own thing and walked the street, Michigan Street there, or Michigan Avenue.
I have never bought an umbrella in my life. Have any of you ever bought an umbrella?
I own one.
No.
Well, everyone on this trip ended up buying an umbrella, and it was worth it. It definitely worth it. But you're right. It was raining the entire time.
On Saturday, yeah.
On Saturday.
And then so we kind of went shopping on the Magnificent Mile there. Mm-hmm. I went to the Nutella store. That was pretty cool.
Nutella
is the proper.
Which also doesn't sell. Guess
Nutella.
Right.
Like you can't buy jars of
Nutella. You can't buy jars of Nutella at the Nutella store.
Weird.
Okay.
How retarded is that?
But they sell like crepes and cookies
It's more like a coffee bar.
It's a pastry shop.
Or a pastry shop.
And
all
of their stuff has Nutella.
I think they
call
those bakeries.
Well, it's a pastries. It's pastries because it's not quite a bakery.
Okay.
And then they do have a coffee shop there.
Jeff,
I don't say any truth anymore. Everything I say is suddenly a lie.
It will be questioned for sure.
To consider it a bakery, they would have to have like cookies and bread, and they didn't have that.
Watch yourself. They're Layton.
But they did have like the creme brulee kind of stuff, and that's why I would call it a pastry shop instead.
Okay.
Anyways, and so then Saturday morning we went to Yoke for breakfast. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good.
As far as I know, that's a newer chain from the past few years. I don't remember seeing them until.
If you ever head to Chicago, it's definitely a place to visit. Yeah. I mean, it's very good. Then we went to. Navy Pier in the morning, did some stuff there. It was kind of raining, so none of the rides were going. But we did shoot some stuff inside. They do have a pretty cool mirror maze.
Mm-hmm.
The mirror is just one big part of it. But the mirror part is very, very cool.
Yeah.
I've never been in a mirror extremely
cool.
maze
I've
before.
Been in a mirror maze, and they're always kind of underwhelming. Because, I mean, it's cool. The mirror thing is very
but
cool.
But it's usually not big enough.
But it's not big enough. And so you can find your way through in about 5 minutes. But then this maze just kept on going and going. And as you walk through the halls of it, it would, like, shoot air at you and just scare you. And then they had this tunnel where you walked through it, and the whole room was swirling, and it felt like you were falling over.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
It was really weird.
And then they had this thing where there's mattresses that you had to squeeze in between to get through.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of...
And it, like, kind of got narrower and narrower, and you were never stuck, but it was just, like,
was not for people that had claustrophobia.
It was probably 25 feet that you had to walk through, and it just kind of got narrower and narrower as you went through it until you popped out the other side.
It's very unsettling.
So, yeah. We went to Bubba Gump's for supper.
Mm.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Seafood, the top-notch seafood there. And then afterwards, we went back to the hotel and watched a movie. And after that, I decided I wanted Shake Shack again.
How many times did you visit Shake Shack over the weekend?
I went 3 times. Wow. It's that good.
See, when Jeff says it, we know it's not an exaggeration.
I ate there once, and their food is good. Like, their burgers are smooth.
Their burgers are pretty good.
Oh.
But their shakes are just...
I didn't have
next
any of the
level.
Shakes.
I didn't have a shake either, but I can't testify.
Did you have a Shack?
Their burgers were very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their burgers.
Their shakes are the whole reason. Yeah.
And I think they're open pretty late, because after the movie, a group of the guys went back there again.
Yeah, they're open till midnight.
Wow.
So this is how good they are.
They're like the Steak and Shake Shack.
We went to Baltimore on a mission trip, and they had Shake Shack there. We discovered it there 2 years ago. And we went 3 times in the course of a week.
Hold on, Jeff. I feel like whenever Layton makes a statement, maybe we should just yell out a number as far as its truthfulness. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10.
10 being...
10 being true.
The truth. Yeah. The absolute truth.
0 or 1 being as far as you can possibly get from it.
Okay, let's try it 1 second, with different statements.
Okay.
I am married.
10.
10.
Okay. Ruben is dating.
10.
10.
Okay. Jeff thinks that the Prime House is the best steakhouse.
7.
7.
Okay. Chicago is a nice city.
7.
All right.
8.
What?
8. All right. Okay. Yeah, it works. Okay, wait. I have another question. The Cheesecake Factory in Chicago is awesome.
2.
Why?
Okay. I'm glad you brought this up, because we didn't eat there. I've heard the food is great. Of course, they have cheesecake, and I'm sure it's fantastic too.
About the food.
However, Layton was talking about the atmosphere and what you see, and what it looks like is something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
Isn't that awesome?
It does look like something out of a Dr. Seuss book. And it is pretty cool.
Since when is Dr. Seuss lame? Since when is the world of Dr. Seuss with swirls and little trinkets and bells?
Because you made it sound like it would blow our minds.
It blew my mind.
Okay, you don't have to be so defensive about it, because you were just going off of what someone else had told you.
It's true.
You had never seen it before.
I went through images. I went through images on Google, and I looked at pictures of the Cheesecake Factory in Chicago, and I thought, oh my goodness, this looks awesome.
And then you walked inside.
And I wasn't disappointed. And everyone else was like, Layton, this is so lame.
I actually didn't go to the Cheesecake Factory.
All this looks like is the inside of Dr. Seuss's mind, which apparently to you guys is so boring. Guess what?
There are
millions and millions of people that disagree with you, Ruben. Dr. Seuss's mind is amazing.
I was expecting more flash or glitter, and it was empty. It had just barely opened up, and so it was dark.
So they were still kind of like working on the inside.
Well, it appeared that. I hope so. Anyway, Jeff, we interrupted you.
What were we talking about?
I'm guessing the Shake Shack.
Oh, yeah. Shake Shack.
The Shake Shack or Nutella.
So we went three times in Baltimore. Our youth group did, and we all enjoyed it.
To the Shake Shack.
To the Shake Shack.
Okay.
Because it was that good. It was worth going back to. We went back specifically to Shake Shack. And then in London, they also have one there. They actually have two in London. And when I was over there, me and my sisters, my aunt, visited both of them. So went there twice. And then I went three times this past weekend. So if I have the opportunity to go, I will go. Basically, because it's that good. The shakes are just so good. Anyways.
Does that get us through, besides your Apple experience, Layton, does that get us through everything from the weekend? And then we can do
are we going to go over the fact that we went up the John Hancock building?
Yes. Let's do that. Kay. We did that on Sunday morning, and that was pretty cool. It's closer to the lake than the Sears Tower, the Willis Tower. I thought that was pretty cool.
I feel like I enjoyed that more than the Willis Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Although I thought the Willis Tower has a ledge that is a glass ledge you can walk out on, see straight down. And the Hancock Tower, John Hancock Tower, has a tilt where you lean up to the wall or the window and then you lean out over the edge. I thought the Willis Tower was scarier.
I think it would be just a little bit.
But overall, I enjoyed the Hancock Tower a lot more. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a while since I've been to Willis Tower, but from what I remember, it felt like just more open, more space, cleaner, and just nicer in general.
Mm-hmm. It felt like there was less people up there, and it was a great view of the city and also of the lake. I mean, the view of the lake was impressive.
Yeah, it was. Did you went on the tilt, right?
I did.
What did you think about that?
I thought it was underwhelming.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That would be you, Ruben.
No, I actually would
agree. Yes.
I actually do agree.
That fits.
Because you're actually only leaning out. It's not leaning out that far. It is kind of freaky when you're going out. But then once you're out there, they just pull you right back. I mean, you're on the ride for 30 seconds. Or 45 seconds.
I think
maybe.
It would be great if they would add like a stutter. Or like a shaky, like it feels like it's going to break.
Now that would be exciting.
If there was holes,
that would be too much. Like, that would have scared me.
There should be holes in the glass so that the wind blows in your face. That would be cool.
I could. It
feels
farted.
Like you're out there.
And there's a good chance that I would have broken the glass. Yeah, it was good.
After that, we went. Some of us went to the Cheesecake Factory. Others went to this neat little church across the street. That was pretty cool. It's an old church in the middle of Chicago. All these nice skyscrapers. Actually, they're kind of ugly, some of them. Anyways, but these skyscrapers all around, and there's this quaint little, probably 1800s church in the middle of downtown Chicago, surrounded by the rest of the city. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
It had a really neat little courtyard and. Yeah.
Karin and I went out in the morning a little earlier before we all convened to leave the hotel, and we sat in there in the church as they were having service. And it is beautiful on the inside of the church. On the inside, it's very, very beautiful. But it's also very sad because they had, I don't know how many people it could sit, but it looked like there was maybe 30 to 40 people. And they were just using up probably the front 10% of the church.
Really? Wow.
And so it was actually roped off. Like, except for the far back two or three benches, the rest of it was roped off where you couldn't even sit in it. And so they don't really expect people to come.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was sad in that way.
So you were underwhelmed by the attendance.
I was disappointed by the attendance.
Okay.
Yeah. After that, I went to the North Face store because I have a North Face jacket, and the bottom of the zipper is like starting to rip a little bit, and so I was just gonna buy a new one. So I went in there and I couldn't quite find what I was looking for. So I went up to the lady that was standing there and I said, "Hey, I need a jacket to replace this because this one's starting to rip, and I would like to buy a new one. Where can I find one like this?" And she said, "Oh. Well, didn't you know these have lifetime warranty?"
Whoa.
And so I returned it there. I gave it to her, and she sent it in for a warranty, so it's supposed to come in 4 to 6 weeks. I was pretty impressed.
That is impressive, Jeff. I might even go buy... I normally don't spend a whole lot of money on jackets.
Right.
But maybe I will. A North Face one.
But knowing that, yeah, knowing that is just like, hold it. Why would I ever buy anything else? Because when it wears out, you send it in.
I'm guessing there's other brands that also have lifetime warranties. It's just they're never talked about.
Yeah.
Ever.
Although the North because Face usually is really
you just
nice.
Outgrow the jacket.
I know.
Instead of...
Yeah, that is true.
Instead of ruining it, it's just you outgrow it, and so then you can't use it anyway, even if it would be fixed. You outgrow it
physically, or just you just get sick of it. You just get tired of it.
Either you outgrow it physically, or the trends and fashions of the world.
You just don't want it anymore.
Outgrow it.
Yeah.
And so, you can't be seen in it, especially in Chicago. Especially in Chicago.
After that, we went back to our hotel.
Your hotel.
Hotel.
Yes.
Got our vehicle and took off for Giordano's Pizza for lunch.
How do you pronounce that again?
Giordano's.
Giordano's.
I think it's one of
the hardest words to say.
It looks like Giordano's. Giordano's.
I think that's actually close.
See?
I'll give that a 9.
What do you give it, Ruben?
I'll give it a 9.
Yes! Almost truth.
It's as close as you're likely to get.
Right.
Yeah. That pizza is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like it's not any better, though, than Antonio's in Elkhart.
I actually agree with you.
Antonio's Pizzeria.
Although,
do they have deep dish?
If you've never had it, Giordano's you have to have it at least once in your life.
They have that.
It's kind of like the Prime House.
They have like the stuffed pizza, which is not what expensive. That was.
Oh. That wasn't just deep dish pizza?
It was stuffed. It actually, if you watch them make it, you can't really tell, but they put the crust down and then the meat and then cheese and then another crust and then more cheese and then the sauce on top.
I did not notice a double crust.
The two layers of cheese surrounding that second crust make the crust really like soft and doughy, so you can't really tell that it's a crust.
Right.
But if you would like pick it apart, you could see that there is bread there.
Mm.
Their crust is really good.
It was. It's almost crumbly.
Yeah, it's like a crispy.
Especially the back of it.
Yeah.
The
side of it.
The end crust.
And you can't
the eat outer more, crust.
You can't eat more than 2 pieces.
Did you hear what I said?
What?
I said 8.
Yeah, okay, good.
Anyways, then we drove home, got delayed on the way home by some guy who decided that he could drive through the I-Pass without an I-Pass. And actually, 2 people did that in both I-Pass lanes, so we were stuck behind them, waiting.
Why? Did they get?
Oh, you mean they no? Oh, what,
on the toll road on the way back.
It was through an I-Pass booth.
Yeah, sorry, on the toll road, the Easy Usually Pass the, booth. Like you know, you just drive through and it accepts your thing, and you can keep on going. Well, these 2 people at the same time in both of the lanes
plugged it up,
and there was cars lined up. Behind us, and we like, sat there for about 15 minutes.
It defeated its purpose.
Exactly. I mean, it's very clearly marked, like, Easy Pass
only
cash. Like, there's like 4 or 5 lanes of cash and 2 of Easy Pass. Like, it could not be simpler.
And there were 2 idiots.
And there
what
were
are
two
the odds
idiots?
That there are 2 idiots on the highway driving side by side, and they both make the same mistake?
I know. He was bad.
That is fascinating.
And then finally the one went, but the one behind, that we were behind, like, was still waiting. He was trying to swipe his credit card in the thing, and it just wasn't working. And
I don't understand why they have an arm there. Just charge
just
them.
Just let you fly through.
Just let you
it,
fly
yeah.
through and then send a letter in the mail.
Yeah.
Because some, I think, Easy Pass does that. Easy Pass, you stay out. Or is it, now well, I get confused. Which one's I-Pass? Which one's Easy Pass?
I-Pass is the Indiana version of Easy Pass.
Well, then Easy Pass, the Illinois version, you can just drive through.
Well, the different places in Illinois, they have toll booths and things you just drive through. The things you just drive through are on the other toll road. This was just for the bridge, the Skyway Bridge thing, and that you have to. There's a toll booth on each end of it.
Okay,
it's like its own separate thing. It's weird. So we got back at about 6 o'clock, and then we had small groups at our house, and I was in charge.
Yeah, that's a 10. how did that go? Because you said you knew about it, and yet didn't really know what to do about it.
Well, I knew what our plans were. It was me and my sister and my brother were in charge of it. We're put in charge of it. And I knew what our plans were, but I wasn't much involved in the actual planning thereof. So I just was like, they said, okay, let's...
You're starting to sound like a politician, Jeff.
let's do praise and worship with instruments. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. And so they got all the songs around and stuff. And then it went pretty smoothly. But there were people at our house till like 9:30, and I hadn't had any sleep. I didn't get a chance to take a nap. I had to drive. I drove the whole way home, and I was just tired and not ready for it. But I had to do it anyways.
Bless your heart, Jeff.
But it turned out pretty good.
All right, I guess next week we need to check back for Layton's Apple story. Hopefully we'll get at least an 80% truth on that story.
I plan on divulging everything.
Where are we at as far as time?
We're at almost an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
I think my story should wait another week because it is a longer story. I could tell a shorter story this week.
Tell a shorter one because I don't want to...
I was so pumped up for a racist fairy tale.
We did promise it at the beginning, so this might not be as racist as what you were planning on, but hopefully it'll do.
I actually have another one picked out.
A daily dose of racism.
It's not racist, but it is very odd and pretty morbid.
Okay.
So here we go. This is called Air Corps. And I've heard from the Myths and Legends guy, not from there, from some other source that Air Corps is kind of like a generic name for a guy. It's a German name. Anyways, okay. Here it goes. There once was a cock and hen who wanted to take a journey together. So the cock built a beautiful carriage and had four red wheels and harnessed four mice to it. The hen seated herself in it with the cock and they drove away together. Not long afterwards, they met a cat who said, "Where are you going?" The cock replied, "We are going to the house of Air Corps." "Take me with you," said the cat. The cock answered, "Most willingly, get up behind, lest you fall off in front. Take care not to dirty my little red wheels. And you little wheels, roll on, and you little mice, pipe out, as we go forth on our way to the house of Air Corps." After this came a millstone, and then an egg, then a duck, then a pin, and at last a needle, who all seated themselves in the carriage and drove with them. When, however, they reached the house of Air Corps was not there. The mice drew the carriage into the barn, the hen flew with the cock upon a perch, the cat sat down by the hearth, or is it hearth?
Hearth.
The duck on the well pole.
Hearthstone.
Yes.
The egg rolled itself into a towel. The pin stuck itself in the chair cushion. The needle jumped onto the bed in the middle of the pillow. And the millstone laid itself over the door. Then Air Corps came home, went to the hearth, and was about to light a fire when the cat threw a quantity of ashes in his face.
A quantity?
He ran into the kitchen in a great hurry to wash it off, and the duck splashed some water in his face. He wanted to dry it with a towel, but the egg rolled up against him and broke and glued up his eyes. He wanted to rest and sat down in the chair, and the pin pricked him. He fell in a passion and threw himself on his bed, but as soon as he laid his head upon the pillow, the needle pricked him so that he screamed aloud and was just going to run out into the wide world in his rage. But when he came upon the house door, the millstone leapt down and struck him dead.
Whoa.
Air Corps must have been a very wicked man. The end.
I've got a question. Why is there a pin and a needle?
Why?
A pin and a needle are two different things.
A pin is for holding material in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
A needle is for sewing.
Yeah. A pin is what women put in their covering. It has an end on it.
Okay.
It has like a little...
A white end. Curly plastic.
Well, some of them have just like a flat head on it.
It could just be like a small... Like a nail.
Yeah. Like a very minute head.
This story intrigues me because it starts out so innocently that, this little chicken and rooster want to just go on a ride.
And visit a guy.
Well, it doesn't even say they were going to visit a guy. It says that they're going to go on a ride. And then...
They end up killing someone.
They end up killing somebody.
Well, did they...
This could have been your Chicago trip.
What part did the mice and the hen?
I'll give that a one.
Oh. What part did the mice and the hen and the rooster have in killing
him? I don't know.
They had nothing to do with it,
the
right?
The mice pulled it. The hen and the rooster were just there. But it seemed like everybody hated him and wanted to go. It was kind of like a mob, except a cheerfully started mob.
No, but at the end, when his demise...
It's a break and entering. Breaking and entering.
When it started, though, what was the first thing that happened to... What's the guy's name again? Aragorn?
Air Corps. It might be Hair Corps.
In direct German, in the literal translation, it means the corpse. So if you would have been
six.
Able...
Corps. I'll give you six.
If you had been able to, like, read German, you would have known the end of the story already.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you did say it was a very common name, and in the end, we all end up as corpse, so...
yeah, sure. There's similar. This is similar to some other fairy tales, in which, you know, multiple objects group together to attack and kill somebody.
No, but back to my question. It started off with the mice and the rooster and the hen.
Mm-hmm. The mice served their purpose in pulling the carriage.
Okay, true. But they didn't. The mice didn't do anything as far as injuring or hurting.
No,
Hair Corps. And neither did the hen or the rooster.
No. It's weird.
Wasn't it all the inanimate objects?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, there was a duck. That was involved.
Yeah, what did the duck do?
The duck and the cat.
And the cat.
The cat, yeah.
The cat threw ashes in the guy's face.
A quantity of ashes. Of ashes.
And the guy went to wash his face off, and the duck threw water in his face. Kind of, that seemed like a helpful thing. And then so he wipes his face with the towel, and of course the egg egg pressed itself against his face, which
is odd.
Is really odd.
I think the reason that the rooster and the hen didn't have anything to do with the killing of Hair Corps is because they were the ones that knew him. Like, they were the ones going to visit him. The rest were just along for the ride and decided, hey, why not kill a guy?
That is what it seems like.
Yeah.
But it seemed... It
Including
said,
that
at the very
stupid
end,
millstone.
The moral is be careful who you pick up along the way.
No, the moral was...
To be careful if...
Hair Corps must have been a very wicked man.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, I guess it was at the end there.
So, yeah. I think...
The moral was said in the story.
The point of the story is that, I believe the point of the story is if you're a bad person, people will kill you.
In your own house. I think you're right.
Inanimate objects will rise against you.
It's just funny when you say it that way.
So anyways.
Well, I think it's time to get to the point.
Yeah, let's... Ruben.
What?
Get to the point, Lane.
Let's get to the point, okay? Jeff should be a travel agent. Snowflake Tours. Everything hinges on Carrie and me. Ruben
four.
Is... Four. Ruben is the Circle Police. Nutella is a lie. Dr. Seuss's mind is lame.
Seven.
Jeff has a shack full of shakes. That's a 10.
That's a 10.
Ruben is underwhelmed by everything.
That's also a 10.
That's Idiots drive beside each other on the toll road. And pins and needles are different. Those are my points. Do you guys have any?
My point was that Layton can't be trusted, but we already got to that.
Yeah, we did get to that.
We covered that heavily. Vehemently.
Chicago is a cool place is my point.
Okay.
And with that, what is our word of the week?
Chicago.